the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, April the 26th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump's lawyer is due in court today. Also on our rundown, HUD Secretary Ben Carson proposes raising the rent on low-income families. Plus, we'll take a look at efforts to address addiction in Ohio, what's working and what is not. First, our top story, prosecutors and attorneys for President Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, are due in court today. CNBC reports that U.S. District Judge Kimball Wood is considering whether to appoint a special watchdog to review legal files related to the president. Meantime, Suzanne Potter reports that groups that work on issues of poverty and housing are criticizing the Trump administration proposal to raise rents on low-income families and institute work requirements.
On Wednesday, Ben Carson, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, announced a plan to raise the percentage that people who get HUD rental assistance pay from 30% to 35% of their income. The plan would also allow public housing agencies to implement work requirements as a condition of assistance. Noni Session with the East Bay Permanent Real Estate Cooperative said the moves are emblematic of a misconception that there is a correlation between poverty and laziness.
It's kind of a spurious discussion to assert that more work hours and a higher cost burden is going to do something to empower people who are already struggling.
Carson said in a press statement that the current rental program discourages people from becoming self-sufficient and would save money for the department. The new rental structure would not apply to senior citizens or the disabled, who make up more than half of the 4.7 million households in the U.S. that receive HUD rental assistance. HUD statistics show that 484,000 households in California depend on HUD subsidies. Congress would have to approve the plan.
Recently, the North Carolina Land Trust helped a local group buy a small apartment building in Oakland to be run by the tenants. The program also helps fight the eviction crisis. New data from the Eviction Lab Project shows more than 6,000 Americans were kicked out of their homes every day in 2016. Public school teachers across Arizona plan to walk out of their classrooms today to demand higher wages and better funding for schools. Karen Davis Young reports the latest economic research suggests teachers have a valid reason to feel left behind.
Arizona teachers make just 63 cents on the dollar compared to other workers with college degrees. That's the largest gap in the nation, according to a study by the Economic Policy Institute, where Lawrence Michel is a labor market economist.
Teachers' wages have really lagged behind that of other workers with similar amounts of experience in education. And we find that to be true even when we include, you know, the fact that teachers get better benefits.
Governor Doug Ducey has proposed a plan to get teachers a 20% pay raise within 3 years. But the educators say his plan doesn't offer wage increases to other school staff and doesn't restore other school funding or provide enough details about how raises would be paid for.
And as Congress heads into recess next week, Eric Gelattis has been looking into a new report by the Colorado Fiscal Institute. It highlights the importance of SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps.
As of March 2017, 476,000 Coloradans participated in the program, and 3 out of 4 were families with children. Elizabeth Cheever with the Institute says SNAP creates an economic ripple effect across Colorado communities because every dollar is spent at a grocery store or farmer's market in the state.
SNAP is a crucial economic stabilizer. It helps out not only the people who receive it directly, but also the communities in which they live when times are tough.
A proposed revision to SNAP making its way through the U.S. House of Representatives would extend work requirements to parents of school-aged children and to people up to 60 years old. Proponents argue the move would help struggling Americans re-enter the workforce instead of enabling unemployment.
And finally, new research assessing the extent of drug addiction in Ohio and how the state is tackling the problem. We get the details from Mary Sherman.
27% of adults questioned in the 2017 Ohio Health Issues poll said they had a family member or friend who had problems as the result of using prescription pain drugs, and 23% knew someone with a heroin problem. Amy Bush Stevens with the Health Policy Institute of Ohio says the findings show drug use is more widespread than indicated by data on overdose deaths, which rose nearly 30% between 2015 and 2016.
Overdose deaths, we think of this as a tip of the iceberg issue. And just below the surface are a much larger number of Ohioans who have experienced an overdose that was not fatal or who are just struggling with substance use disorder.
The Health Policy Institute of Ohio's new addiction scorecard shows Ohio has implemented many evidence-based programs, reduced the number of opioid prescriptions dispensed, and increased health insurance coverage and treatment access. But it notes more work is needed to address the underlying factors that drive demand for drugs and to strengthen the behavioral health treatment system. Stevens says the scorecard also shows that better access is needed to available addiction prevention programs.
We have these kind of pockets of excellence around the state that just need more sustained and widespread implementation and funding.
Advocates say data is crucial in helping policymakers better evaluate the effectiveness and cost of prevention improvement strategies. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.